Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Garibaldi Red, a Nottingham Forest podcast. We are live across YouTube, Garibaldi Red, and Facebook, Nottingham Forest News. I'm Max Hayes, your host, and joined by Dave Asprey and Max Scott, both legends, both returning to the podcast this afternoon to talk about what is a huge game for Forest tomorrow against Luton. A must win, a cup final, as people are talking about. It really, really could define Forest's season. Max, Dave, afternoon to you both on this Friday. And I suppose it's nice, actually, Dave, isn't it, that Max is joining us for Friday brunch. It's, hopefully he can find a special recipe out of his cookbook.
I think he might be a bit more modern in the kitchen than I am. That's for certain, you know what I mean?
Well, saying that, boys, actually, I've just wolfed down a microwave macaroni and cheese and about four slices of fresh bread, so I'm carved up, ready to go.
Carved up, ready to go for Garibaldi Red.
That's an interesting
Friday
food diary there, isn't it?
Yeah, I just needed something.
Brilliant. You've got to fuel yourself up talking about Forest at the moment, for sure. We're live on Facebook and YouTube, Nottingham Forest News, Garibaldi Red. So if you do want to get your comments in about tomorrow's game, then we will put them, of course, to us, and we will discuss them throughout. Right, Dave, let's start with you. We talked on Monday, which feels like an eternity ago really now, just about kind of post-Brighton and the disappointment that we kind of found ourselves in the back of. More controversy, but really now this week has been even bigger, given the possible kind of points deduction hearing as well that will come out most likely next week. But in terms of tomorrow's game, I think this is the biggest game since Wembley. Would you agree, Dave?
Absolutely. I was very privileged to be invited onto a Luton Town podcast last night, Owen the Town, and I said, looking at both sides of the coin, it's the biggest game since we played Huddersfield Town at Wembley in the playoff final. And it's the biggest game for Luton Town since they played Coventry City at Wembley in the playoff final, which then led me to summarise that this tomorrow is as near to a playoff game in the Premier League as you will get. It's huge. It's massive. I've read a couple of prediction sites this morning. Most people are sort of hedging their bets and sitting on the fence. Chris Sutton's gone 2-2. There's another one that said like 1-1 or whatever. I don't expect a great game. I expect a game where, in the end, the concept of making sure we don't lose overrides the concept of, you know, if one of the teams is brave enough to go for it, then they'll earn the victory. But it is a colossal game. For both of them, and it's psychologically fascinating because neither of them are in great shape. I thought we were pretty poor at Brighton, but it's one of the most disappointing days I've had travelling with Nottingham Forest for a long time. Personally speaking, it was a tough game, and then Forest added more woe onto it. And Luton saw a slight glimpse of a promised land for 45 minutes and then had it brutally taken away from them. So how Rob Edwards rebuilds spirit and confidence and motivation in Luton Town over a short turnaround time of 72 hours could be defining tomorrow. So neither of them are in great form. Neither of them are blessed with great confidence and belief at the moment. The one thing I will guarantee you is it'll be a cauldron of an atmosphere due to the Luton Town fans. They'll make it really, really difficult. Forest are going to have to withstand, an oral barrage from the stands. So it's going to be really difficult. Whoever is the most mentally together team on the day will win it, but I expect a very tight, very cagey game where, you know, do you stick or do you twist? I don't expect a classic.
No, I don't think it will be either. Such a big game. Lots of comments coming into us. Mark says, afternoon. Michael says, proper six-pointer this, so come on you Reds. Kev, absolutely. Afternoon all you Reds. Very nervous for tomorrow, as we all are. Max, how do you, it's been a while actually since we've talked Forest, how do you really see the Forest situation at the moment? I feel like at the moment, off the pitch, there's so much going on that I think it's distracting for the players on the pitch, even though they are professionals. And it just seems like, you know, there's rumours today that this points deduction is going to come out. There's rumours of all sorts of kind of stuff, and it just doesn't help the club at the moment, given the desperation for points, really.
No, it doesn't. I think there's been lots of things, you know. Forest have been the victim of some what seems like an inordinate amount of really poor refereeing decisions. There's no doubt about that. And obviously, it's easy to say that as a Forest fan, but colleagues I work with, you know, every time I go into the office, are sort of thinking, like, Max, what do you think of that? I mean, that was a shocker. So there's that to contend with. For me personally, I've said this publicly, I think the appointment of Mark Clattenburg is really confusing. I think it's quite embarrassing. I think that it draws attention to the club that's not good attention.
Absolutely.
And so things like that, yes, they do distract the players, regardless of, you know, how professional they are. And the thing that concerns me about the Luton game is Luton remind me of Forest last season. First season back in the Premier League for a long time, or back in the top flight for a long time. A fantastic old classic stadium with incredible home support. I think Forest's home form last season probably a little bit better than Luton's, but nonetheless, you've got to credit Luton for the type of, and Rob Edwards for what they've managed to do. And, you know, they've gone through the mill with what's happened with Tom Lockyer. And, you know, although there are relegation rivals, I can't help but feel a great deal of admiration for Luton. But it worries me that they remind me of us last season, because we had that momentum and we had that sort of strength of feeling at the club through what Steve Cooper had done. Now, I'll make it clear, I don't think that Nuno should be sacked. I think that's ridiculous, some of the tweets that I've seen. I didn't think we should have sacked Cooper at the time, but parking all that, I think we have to acknowledge that as a club, we have gone through a massive sort of transitional period this season. Call it, you know, the soul of the club, the feeling, the emotion. Some people don't like talking about it, but I think it really matters to what happens on the pitch. We, you know, since Steve Cooper's departure, whilst Nuno's come in and we really want him to do well and we're behind him, we have lost something, I think, and we're trying to rebuild. And all of these things around Mark Clattenburg coming in to try and build relationships with the PGMOL, you know, all of that just leads to quite, I think, a difficult feeling at the club. So that makes tomorrow, I think, even more interesting. I would say on paper, Forest should win the game. I know we're in similar league positions. And actually, I think I slightly disagree with Dave about it being a cagey affair. The thing about Luton and Forest, particularly Forest under Nuno, is we score quite a lot of goals, and particularly Luton. And so I've got a feeling that it could be a bit of a classic tomorrow in terms of goals. And I'd love to see sort of Taiwo and Alanga back in the fold, because I think they're incredibly dangerous.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you agree there, Dave? Do you think that kind of tomorrow, in terms of players like like Max says, you look at the squad on paper, and it's a squad, no disrespect to Luton, that should be beating Luton. But then almost all of this kind of hype and build up around the game might work against Forest. It might work in Luton's favour as them being the underdogs, them being similar to Forest last season. It's not going to be an easy game at all tomorrow at Kenilworth Road.
No, it's going to be incredibly difficult. Luton Town will probably always be perceived as underdogs because we've won two European Cups, we've won league titles, we've won league cups. We have a bigger ground and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, we're seen as perceived as one of the grand old football clubs, of English football. Luton Town are an excellent club, brilliantly run, especially by Gary Sweet. I agree with everything that Max has said. I find the Clattenburg appointment just an irrelevance, an utter irrelevance. What can he do? I'm old school, as you can probably tell from my grey hair and the double chins and the wrinkles. A referee is right even when he's wrong. I have never, ever had a go at a referee. What I think, Max is right about the soul of the club, is I believe that certain decisions and certain facets of our club at the moment bring bad karma on us. When the decisions go against you, shut your mouth, get behind that dressing room door, say, right, let's have some siege mentality. Don't be my owner chasing a referee down a tunnel. I think is unbelievably undignified and not a good look at all. I want the moral high ground. Luton Town have gone and got the moral high ground from the moment that everybody thought that they would lose every game, and Garth Crooks and people like that who really should know better, and people on TalkSport have just been mocking them. If Rob Edwards is savvy and modern and intelligent and highly articulate, he'll take that stuff and he'll use it as a motivational tool. Right. And I agree with everything Max says. I nod profusely when he talks, because what comes out of his mouth correlates with what is in my head. And, this game, a key point is what he says. I talked last night on the Luton Town podcast, and the excellent people that run this podcast, and I said it's first season syndrome against second season syndrome. Luton Town resemble us of last year for all the reasons that Max has pointed out. I worry about us sometimes, that we resemble Leeds United of last season. I really do. And if you want to talk about the soul of the club, anybody walking out of the Amex on Sunday afternoon, that away support, it was really lifeless at the Amex. There was about 20 minutes of Mull of Kintyre and, your ground's too big for you and all this kind of stuff and trouble in the library. And then it just fizzled out. And most people, I heard people, even with my one good ear, I heard people as we walked out the Amex going, play like that, we'll get buried at Luton. I think the key factors tomorrow are all on Luton. How do Luton psychologically handle the unbelievable gut punch that they got on Wednesday night? To have it kind of teased at you and then have it dragged away. We might end up in the fullness of time thanking Bournemouth for what they did the other night. At half time, I was like, we're down and we'll get buried on Saturday. That's how I felt at half time. And whatever Andoni Iraola said at half time, we as supporters of Nottingham Forest, yeah, I know people say we don't want to be, I'd like to get to the point where we don't have to consider what other teams are doing, but we aren't good enough to be, we haven't earned that right yet. So I looked at it and I thought, thank you. I had Bournemouth fans sending me a you're welcome text and things like that, because I know a lot of people in Bournemouth. But I think the key is how Rob Edwards rebuilds those lads, because they looked utterly devastated at the end of that game. And Rob Edwards, for the first time this season, looked like he was finding it difficult to front up. He's always fronted up. From Wembley with Tom Lockyer to Bournemouth with Tom Lockyer and all points between. Rob Edwards has come out, spoken beautifully. But Wednesday night, he looked a devastated man, and his team did. That's one thing. The other, the key player tomorrow, if he plays, is Ross Barkley. He can run a game. Who for us runs a game? Does Yatesy do it? Not really. Does Nico Dominguez do it? No, not really. Morgan, it might come down to Morgan doing to Ross Barkley what he did at St James's Park to Bruno Guimarães and what he did at the City Ground against Bruno Fernandes. We need Morgan tomorrow to be our talisman and offset Ross Barkley. But, you know, the thing is, I'm thinking it's Gagey. Max thinks it'll be a goal fest. The truth of the matter is, neither of us really know. And that's the great beauty of football. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, Luton Town didn't know. They thought they were home and dry Wednesday night. And then 45 minutes later, the beauty or the, if you like, the ugliness of football took it away from them. So it's a fascinating prospect. It's a bigger, I mean, we're having FA Cup quarterfinals shoved down our throats. This game is a 12-pointer. And it's a far bigger game than any of the FA Cup. It should be the main game on all the channels this weekend, this game.
Yeah, it should be. I completely agree there, Dave. We've always liked Bournemouth, haven't we, Mr.
No, I'm going to jump in here because, weirdly enough, my initial connection with Dave is Bournemouth. We both
yeah, it is.
colleague, Dave managed my ex-colleague, Ross. He's an absolutely brilliant bloke. But lived in Bournemouth for 8-9 years and I loved everything about it, apart from the fact that they were painstakingly always more successful than Forest. And I hated it. And every time we played them, we never won. And then at the end of that championship season, when we didn't get the penalty, you know, refs are a bit of a theme here, aren't they? It was so sickening. And then my ex-students were on the pitch sort of like, you know, flagging me off. And I hated it. But so when we were 3-0 down, I was in the pub with my dad watching Champions League football. He was down in London to come visit. And I just was incensed. I thought, Bournemouth, you never do anything for us. And then lo and behold. So maybe that's this sort of, you know, Dave and I often talk about the magic and the romance and the sort of, you know, the softer, more subjective side of football. Maybe that's the moment our seasons change. You know, we've more than likely got points deduction to come. I don't have any information on that. I'm not saying I do, but, you know, if precedent's anything to go by, we will. But maybe that's the moment. You know, at half time, we were third bottom, and by full time, we're given the opportunity to go 6 points clear.
Which could be,
you know, lots of the reports that have been mooted are that it could be 6 points, or it could be between 1 and 10, I guess. But, you know, and that's a game changer. And if we beat Luton and we do it convincingly, the momentum is shifted in our way. You sort of, I almost hate to do it because, like I say, there's so much about Luton to respect and admire. But if we can shove them sort of faces in the dirt a little bit and say, you know, stay down there, respectfully, then it could be a massive game changer. Look, there's so many cliches that we can reel out, and all the back pages or print those, and I don't really want to parrot them off, but it truly is massive.
And the onus, Max, everything you say is right, mate. The onus is home advantage. Make the most of it.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, there are some little blueprints there. They lost at home to Burnley. And crucially, the one game this season where everybody predicted them to win was when Sheffield United rocked up, and Sheffield United won 3-1. So I think people have seen that Burnley result when Burnley won 2-1 there and Blades winning there 3-1, where Blades were by far the better team. You know, and Blades have had some proper thumpings this year, and look, similarly with Burnley. And I think this time, I think if Luton had beaten Sheffield United comfortably, then I think Forest would be written off this week. But people are beginning to think, we can't totally neglect Forest in this game. I mean, the thing is, if the Forest that played Liverpool turns up, Forest can win. But if the Forest that went, the Forest that went to Brighton, I thought, let me down far more than the team did, say, at Fulham. Right, which is for everybody, Fulham was the nadir. Fulham was the lowest point, and Fulham was awful. What angered me actually and led me to feel really, really glum about Forest was all the stuff that was talked about at the end of the Liverpool game around the referee and all this kind of stuff. I thought it would make us the angriest team in Britain. All the hot air that followed it gave the impression that Nottingham Forest were like, right, we close ranks as Cluffy did in the old days. We close ranks, we build a suit of armour, and we smash through whatever's in front of us, right? Mm. And we take it out on Brighton and Hove Albion next week, who, by the way, have just had a right good drubbing in Europe. We take it there. And it was nothing of the sort. It was passive. I'll tell you something. We were all in the away end at Amex, and the subs were warming up. And everybody was looking at the subs. And nobody was looking at the 11 that was going to start the match. Because on the bench, Callum, Taiwo, Anthony, yeah. Willie. You know, it was a bench. You kind of think everybody's going, Miami, we must be great. Look at this. Look, you know, Ibrahim Sangare, who must eventually burst out of his chrysalis. You looked at the bench and you kind of thought, man, we must be a good side if that's our bench. You know, but then the other side of that coin was people going, I can't believe he hasn't picked Callum and Anthony. You know, so I the first time for a long, long time, lads, and you'll have to forgive me for being so gloomy. It was the first time I went a long way with Forrest and felt, what was the point of that? And given everything that was going on in the background of my life that day, I wanted some sustenance. I wanted some uplift. And I got none. And I think the Forest fans just trooped in, sang for a bit, trooped back out. And me and Max, we talked, didn't we, about the rapport and the relationship between Nuno and the crowd. Now, Steve was a tactile man, a social animal, a social boy. He cultivated it.
Yeah.
Nuno's not like that. Nuno's more reserved, I think. But if Nuno's going to cultivate, you know, a bridge between the stands and the pitch, he's got to start delivering results. And he did. He basically sent the jury back out on him last week by what he did or what was done at the Amex. And I came away from that game. I wasn't angry after Fulham. We were just beaten by the better side of the night. And, it, you know, once two or three go in, try as much as you like. I've been in that situation where the more you try, the worse it gets, right? But Brighton left me angry. I kind of thought, where is the response to Liverpool? We've had all this Clattenburg nonsense all week and what have you, and Tierney and what have you. It's all well and good. You can't change it now. Go and do something at Brighton. And they did nothing of the sort. And I basically sat in the Amex. And I don't think I've got the Amex has got padded seats for those who've not been there. I think it's the first time in an away end where a lot of people were sitting down. It was distinctly average.
What I don't understand is, you know, this sort of like, we need to get behind Nuno. You know, I see it all the time as if, sort of, oh, we need a song for him. Yeah, obviously we're all behind Nuno because we're all behind Forrest and he's our manager. We need to see something on the pitch. You know, like you say, football fans and Forest fans in particular, we respond to what we see on the pitch because we've grown up in a club with a rich history of what it means to play bloody good football, exciting football. And that's why the City Ground became so famous when we were in the Championship and then last season, because there was something, we saw something on the pitch that reflected our passion and we had a manager that reflected our passion and represented us and our values and the best of Nottingham Forest, the best of the city. And I'm not saying Nuno doesn't, I'm not overly critical, but, you know, let's start with it on the pitch, Nuno, you know, and starting Chris Wood after a long layout and, you know, not playing Anthony Elanga, who's arguably been our most influential player in terms of stats, you know, you make your bed, you lie in it. I'm behind Nuno, but come on, let's make a song for him as if that's going to get us 3 points. Do us a favour. You know, he needs to set the team up right. He needs to pick a team that's consistent and then play people in the right position. I mean, that's what I want to see.
Do you know what, Max? Granted.
Go on.
Yeah, do you know what, Max? Yeah, if there was, I heard it said in the away last week. I heard one bloke, a couple of rows behind, say quite loudly, "Well, if this was Cooper, he'd be getting hammered for this."
Yeah.
You know, and there have been occasions since that sort of like that happy Christmas that we had with Newcastle and Manchester United, where you know it's like. This is very Cooper-esque.
Do you think that the patience might run out quickly more with Nuno? You know, I'm not saying that if
lose Saturday it will, Max.
But do you think if we lose tomorrow, the pressure mounts on him, and that the fans won't have the backing of him because he hasn't been a fan's favourite? And that also leads me on to my next point, Dave. If I watch Nuno's press conferences and I kind of observe him when he's on the sidelines at Forest, and I just wonder whether we need a bit more energy from him and a bit more passion. And maybe that's what we were kind of lucky to have with Steve and that connection. Whereas potentially with Nuno, no disrespect to him, but maybe his mood is bringing down the football club a little bit at the minute. I saw that on Twitter and it's a very interesting point.
He's more taciturn than Steve, Max. I've said on several podcasts, I find utterly fascinating the contrast between Steve writing a four-sided essay of programme notes, and Nuno gives you two sentences. Thank you for your support. We must improve. At his press conferences, I find uncomfortable. I not because of Nuno. It's this. There's this barely concealed contempt, this kind of like, oh, they get... To be fair, most of the questions that are asked in Nuno's press conferences are banal beyond belief. You know, asking him things that are so obvious. But why do people ask a question when they already know the answer? Apart from who's injured this week, Nuno, or who isn't, the rest of the questions are like, oh, you know, are you hoping that you can win at Luton? I was like, yes, what are we even here for? So I can understand his frustration with that, but I'll tell you, because Nottingham Forest fans will only see the size of our ground and the size of Kenilworth Road and what we've achieved in history and what Luton Town have achieved in history, they'll see if we lose tomorrow, he's going to have a welter burden of pressure on him, I think.
But then what? You know, I agree with you. He's going to have pressure. But if that pressure leads to his job being at risk, and I think that says everything about what's going wrong behind the scenes at Forest. You know, yeah. if anybody at the club seriously thinks that sacking him, regardless of, you know, the fact we're still only 3 points above relegation, you know, and regardless of that, if anybody thinks that that is seriously the appropriate thing to do, then, you know, I worry about the future. It feels like it's a bit of a house of cards situation, and I hate to feel so bleak about things, and I promise I am hopeful still, and desperately, you know, deep in my bloody loins want us to win, but it feels so hard to conjure that hope when all of this stuff outside is a massive distraction. When it go back to your question, Max, when it comes to Nuno, you know, we can't ask him to be like Steve Cooper. He is the man he is. You know, he speaks in a certain way. He is his own man, his own character. And we've got to respect that. Going back to my point, I absolutely am behind him. But as Dave says, and as you've suggested, Max, patience will run thin. I just hope that that doesn't lead to some ridiculous snap decision to, you know, get Gary Megson back in for the last 10 games or whatever. You know.
I hope not.
The thing is, Max, would anybody care to look at the Olympiakos model of doing things? Because I wouldn't.
Well, I mean, no one wants to mention it, Dave, because it feels like a cardinal sin to suggest that, you know, there's anything wrong with the way that things are being run. You know, I think for anyone that's willing to be open enough can say, yes, there has been an incredible, generous investment in the club, in buying players, and that's fantastic. However, it's also put us in breach of PSR rules. And it's also led to a lot of unrest, you know, and a lot of people all of a sudden looking at Forest and thinking, that's a bit embarrassing, that. Mark Clattenburg is a referee analyst.
Yeah.
What, the man that wrote a book slagging off his colleagues at the PGMOL? We're going to get him in? I mean...
Gladiators, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Why can't we have some intellect and some decency? I mean, Gladiators, the man... Oh, it's ridiculous. I'm watching him one week telling some oversized bloke to another bloke with a cotton wool bud. And then he's in our club. You know, I mean, and the thing is, my granddad was a hell of a football man, a cracking player. My dad was a scout with Forest under Alan Hill, the great Alan Hill, for so long, right? And they always said to me, son, when it's given, it's done. VAR might have changed that a little bit, but once it's done, it's done.
But do you not think, Dave... But do you not think with the Clattenburg appointment, and we will move on in a minute because we've kind of gone off on a bit of a tangent, but do you not think with the Clattenburg appointment, and hear me out, Max, that maybe it is sometimes a potentially good move? Because if Forest need to put someone in front of the press, a bit like they did after the Liverpool decision, then they can do, and they can put someone in front of them almost that then doesn't get the players. Morgan Gibbs-White heavily criticised the referee on Saturday. Borderline, he'll most likely get a fine for what he said. But if you can put Clattenburg in front of the players, in front of the management, as a club representative, to almost echo what the club's feeling.
It smacks of entitlement. That's what it smacks of.
What I really didn't like, I thought that entire debacle at the end of the game, you know, Tierney was wrong. But the whole thing about going on the pitch, berating it, or on the side of the pitch, putting pressure on, berating a referee, whatever extent it was, I don't think that's befitting of the owner of a club so rich in history as Nottingham Forest. When Mark Clattenburg comes out in front of the press and comes dangerously close to justifying that sort of behaviour. Remember, we live in an era where referee abuse, particularly at grassroots level, is at an all-time high. Mm. It's disgraceful. And when someone comes out representing Nottingham Forest and almost is you know, a word away from justifying that, he said, and it's not verbatim, well, the owner is very angry. He's invested a lot of money in the club and he wants to see a return on it. That is so close to justifying, you know, that sort of behaviour. Paul Tierney's punishment is the shame he should feel for getting the laws wrong. Paul Tierney's punishment is that he didn't referee the game at the weekend. And let's hope that he improves, right? But he's made a mistake. That is not what I want to see from my football club, which I've followed since a boy, have spent thousands of pounds on. And like all of us, you know, I'm not saying I'm alone on that. Like all of us, I don't want to see that. And so I do think it's a bad look. I don't understand the thinking behind it. And I think it's antagonistic to get someone in to say that we're going to scrutinise your work. Let's be real. What material impact is that going to have on the pitch for Forest, having Mark Clattenburg getting paid however much, sat in the director's box, chewing Marinakis's ear off when he doesn't like a decision? What's that actually going to do on the pitch? Nothing. What's going to change what happens on the pitch is the manager and the players booking their ideas up, not Mark Clattenburg sat on the throne at Forest and speaking to reporters. I'm sorry.
Let's move on, influence
it, hang on, let me just come back on that. The influence it has on the pitch is it makes other teams want to beat us. It's a motivational tool for other teams. Rob Edwards might say, have you seen this lot whinging about a referee? They can't take it, lads. Get stuck in at them. And I just, before we move on, Max, I go back to the 1980s and our team in the 1980s. And a certain man went, we don't have trouble with referees. We try to entertain. And you never know, John, you and your lot might think we're a good side. Forest in those days were the referee's favourite team because the greatest of all time, said a yellow card and a red card is a dereliction of duty and it's a help given to the opposition. If you get a red or yellow card, you have to face me when you come back in the changing room. And the Gary Crosbys and the Nigel Cloughs and the Neil Webbs and the Terry Wilsons and the Dezzies and the Pierces and that barely got a yellow or a red card because the great man set the standard. And unfortunately, because I kind of come from that era, I want the same thing now. I agree with Max in every respect.
Okay, breathe. Let's move on from Clattenburg before this becomes a
shows how much it means, though, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, I see your points.
That's the thing.
I see your points. Yeah. I see your points. I will finally add, and I think that if this was an appointment from, if Liverpool or Man U had done it, I think the media narrative would have been incredibly different. Yeah. Re it around Forest. But I can see both. I can see both sides to it. Right, moving on to the game tomorrow, and we kind of cry out, don't we, Dave, for passion constantly from the players. But really, tomorrow it has to be kind of blood, sweat, and tears on the line, and almost the game should be motivating itself for the players. They shouldn't need any extra motivation tomorrow, and I think that. The small number of fans travelling down, because it is, no disrespect, but a very small away allocation tomorrow. I haven't got a ticket. I'll be watching it on the TV, though, for sure. But Dave, you'll be there. And you just hope that the players really do leave everything on the line for the fans that are there and for the fans that, you know, all the Forest fan base that will be watching at home hoping, because it's the biggest, it's the biggest game of the season.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I'd be saying to him, if I was in that dressing room, I said, thanks for nothing at Fulham. Thanks for nothing at Brighton. You know, there have been some good ones away from home. You know, there have been some good performances. I mean, against Liverpool, we played some really good football against Liverpool. With the Liverpool game, it was like, we're 17th because we play well and find a way to get beat. Liverpool are top because they played below par and found a way to win. You know, and I'd rather, if I'll take 10 horrible performances that gather us some points, you know, from these last games. But if they go there tomorrow and they play like it's kind of just another game, it's going to say to me, like, you know, what? Where's the perspective in this club? It's colossal. I saw it reported. I read an article. There's like a look forward to the weekend of the Premier League. And the person writing the article said, defeat for either tomorrow is within the context of football and league standings, not life, but just in that little bubble of football, it's a disaster. We come out the Kenny tomorrow and we've been beat, we're looking down a gun barrel. If Luton come out, you know, tomorrow and they've been beat, they're in real trouble. Whoever loses tomorrow is you know, on a slippy surface. And I think, and that's where I see where Max is coming from. And I'd love a game like that, you know, as a football spectacle. I kind of think that, you know, maybe it'll go the other way. I mean, you know, I wanted Brighton to mean something in the context of Liverpool, and it was treated like there was no follow-on from Liverpool in that game at all. It was deeply, bitterly disappointing. So, you know, I mean, maybe they'll do a Forest and, like, just when you think you've got them pegged and, oh, this is the trend, this is the theme, they're going to do something different, but they're going to have to play really, really well. What is possibly in Forest's favour, and I know I got this from the lovely guys at Luton last night, was that they have a serious injury problem. So, again, another parallel for Luton with us last season.
Yeah.
And I think a key loss for them is Adebayo, because we are pathetic in dealing with set pieces. Truly pathetic in dealing. You know, I mean, Everton are in trouble. Everton are like dynamite from corners and what have you. And so if Luton were kind of thinking, well, the big lads in the box, will stick it to the forward. But I mean, Carlton Morris is going to be a handful tomorrow. You know, Willie has to come in for me tomorrow. Willie has to be back tomorrow. I love Andy Omabama-Daly. He's a cracking prospect. Andy, in fullness of time, is going to be a lovely, elegant defender. He's got a touch of class about him. I love Andy.
Yeah.
But Willie has to play tomorrow for me.
I couldn't agree more. Carlton Morris is an absolute menace. He looks, you know, he's like, he reminds me of Ryan Yates up if he was a striker. He's so difficult to play against, you know, and his hold-up play is fantastic. Yeah. And whilst Murillo's built like a fridge and runs like a ballerina, I think he needs some support. And Willie Bolly, for me, is just, I don't think I've ever seen him miss a header.
No.
And it is beyond me why, as Forrest have been statistically the worst at set pieces, why Willie Bolly's not been straight back in the side. I think he was injured when he came back from AFCON, enough. But for me, he needs to go straight in there, because every time I've seen him play, look, he's just looked absolutely solid. You know, I'd love to see him at the back.
Do you think, Max, tomorrow's a case of playing leaders, playing players that will fight for Forest? And, you know, you kind of mentioned it earlier about Chris Wood versus Taiwo, given that both are okay and Nuno hasn't done his press conference yet, by the way. I will kind of reiterate this as we're live and recording. He hasn't done it, so things could change by 5 o'clock this evening. But given that Taiwo and Chris Wood are both fully available, you'd be surely going for Taiwo out of Chris Wood. But then saying that, Chris Wood has almost become a little bit of a fan's favourite, and maybe he's the player to play tomorrow. Holds the ball up against someone that you can kind of have as a target man up there.
No, I'm playing Taiwo every day of the week. you know, nothing against Chris Wood. Taiwo, and he's got God on his side, hasn't he? So
do you think he's been a little bit lackluster though recently? I think, you know.
Yeah, I do, and I think, you know, we saw it before. He clearly takes a bit of time, I think, to get going, and I think he's a rhythm player, and we've seen from both those big injuries he's had, it's taken a long time almost to sort of dust himself off, get, you know, dust the cobwebs off. But I just think he's rapid, he's strong, and yes, sometimes he'll shin one. But I think he's the most clinical player. He's per 90 minutes or whatever that statistic is, he's got he scores the most goals per minute in the Premier League. I mean, crikey Moses, if we got him in a six-pointer, put him on. And look, I'm not going to argue with someone that thinks absolutely not. You know, each to their own. But I'd be playing Taiwo every single day of the week against Luton.
Do you agree, Dave? You think that Taiwo should start tomorrow?
Yeah, I want my front four tomorrow to be Taiwo, Anthony, Callum, and Morgan. That's what I want.
Yeah,
I think Woody's a smashing lad. The thing with Woody is your service has got to be more precise. I mean, like last week, Woody holds up well. He had the one chance, you know, the one real good chance that we had in the game. You know, I was a bit surprised that he wasn't eased into the side more. You know, but I'm playing Taiwo, Callum, Anthony and Morgan tomorrow, you know. And there has to be a sense of, like, you play your best. Everybody last week was kind of like feeling that, you know, he hasn't picked his best 11. We all have our different perceptions, you know. Some people think we shouldn't accept decisions. Some people think we should and all this kind of stuff. Everybody's got a view. That's great. It's about the diversity. But I want that front four there tomorrow. To not pick Elanga and Callum Hudson-Odoi, who did give Liverpool problems last week. I came out of that game from Liverpool. And in fact, we said last week, you asked me, Max, before Brighton, I said, play the same 11. Chuck the same 11. So you did really well against the league leaders who are, if they're above Manchester City, you have to maybe say, well, maybe they're the best team in the world at the moment because Manchester City have won everything, right? And, you know, say, you've done me a good job. Go and do it again. I have faith in you, right? But he mucked it. I sometimes think managers have to kind of justify their own existence. Yeah. Look, everybody. You know, it's like this. Everybody goes bonkers about substitutions. You know what I mean? It's like ridiculous, but...
Because for me,
Taiwo for me tomorrow.
Because for me, Max, start the team that played against Liverpool and put the bodies on the line. Bar maybe Willie Bolly. I can completely understand your point. And then we touch on leaders, we touch on set pieces, things like that. Start the team that played against Liverpool, that put the bodies on the line, that fought, and I didn't see any lack of passion there or desire. I saw a few silly errors, which we've talked about all the time, and a poor refereeing decision. So for me, go to Luton with that team that played against Liverpool, that will fight, that will leave absolutely everything on the pitch at Kenilworth Road. Because if Forest come away tomorrow with a loss, as Dave says, we're looking at a complete meltdown.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think there's many Forest fans that disagree with Dave's front four. And for me, it's Yates and Dominguez behind. Two absolute, you know, they just love it.
Sangari then, Max.
Sorry?
Not to bring Sangari in them back into the 11.
I'm sorry, no. I mean,
Antony.
I don't want to... I mean, Sangari feels like the perfect sort of representation of Forest season. You know, lots of promise. But flat, and I'm just not convinced he cares. And that's a really speculative thing to say. But just from the way that he's played and his sort of body language on the pitch, he doesn't seem as bothered as someone like Dominguez, who, you know, born in Argentina, raised in Nottingham, sort of vibes. He's absolutely at it, and I know he's not been at his best. But in a game like tomorrow, where it's a bit of a dogfight, him and Yatesy. I think of the people in our team, I couldn't think of anybody better, a better pairing to be there in the middle. I could understand if he played Sangare, AFCON winner, played in the Champions League, highly rated, clearly very capable. I could understand it. But for me, who do I want representing me as a fan on the pitch? It's Ryan Yates and Dominguez in that two behind Morgan Gibbs-White, because I think that they've got that aggression, and that's what we need.
Yeah, I agree there.
Men for the trenches.
Yeah.
Dave, got to finally ask you before we wrap up. How do you see tomorrow going?
0-0.
Do you think?
Yeah, 0-0. Just think there's so much on it. The weight of what's on it might just press down on both teams, you know. And I do think that, you know, they're not, neither of them are in great shape. I mean, you know, brilliant.
I just don't think, Dave, I see what you're saying about the pressure. I just don't think either side is good enough to not make a game changing mistake. So,
that's true. So
I'm going to say Forest 2-1. And I'm saying that because I believe we've got a better side on paper.
Positivity.
And look, for all of the criticism that I've got about things off the pitch, for all of the concerns I've got around that, Forest deserve something to go their way. All of that aside, we've been on the receiving end of some absolutely woeful refereeing decisions that have changed games. And it'd be fascinating to stick it into an AI simulating computer to see where we'd be or where we could be in the different permutations of where we could be if it wasn't those things. And I think it's about time that something went our way, our luck turned, and we got 3 points, scraped a sort of scrappy goal or, you know, bing, bang, bong, deflections into the bottom corner. So I really just feel it's about bloody time things change for us. So I'm going Forest 2-1, and I'm going to stick my neck on the line. I'm going to say Harry Toffolo's going to score a 25-yard screamer. Because I think he's an absolute top bloke, and he's got a good left boot, hasn't he?
Cracking lad. I think him and Nico have been really, really good these
years. Yeah, they've been brilliant.
And, you know, Toffolo... I mean, if you think he was the main weight in the O'Brien deal and nobody, you know, nobody paid very much attention to Harry, and then he dealt with his personal demons in a brilliant way, and now he's helping other people. He's karma's paying him back, and I kind of believe. And actually, mate, what you say about we have had some horrendous decisions, you know, they're awful decisions. Nobody's arguing about that. What I'm saying is you just can't do anything about it once it's done, but you keep plugging away. And the better you are, the luckier you get. And like you say, Matt, I would love tomorrow for like a ball to go into Luton's box with us and somebody, you know, a Luton lad tries to clear it, it hits, I don't know, somebody's backside and flies in the back of the net. And we do, on the balance of fate and all that kind of stuff, we do deserve something to go our way, mate. So we'll see what goes on.
We do, but it is Nottingham Forest. That's what I'll say. But you never know. You never know. Positivity. I'm going to read one last comment now. Maurizio says this will be our Champions League final. Completely agree. Such a huge game tomorrow. And I just hope I'm not spending the weekend planning the podcast on Monday, given another poor refereeing decision and referees dominating the conversation. I don't want to speak about referees for ages.
I'm so nervous. I wasn't nervous before this conversation. And now I've got all wrapped up. Honestly, I feel like it's about to kick off. I feel really nervous, but I also feel enthused, and I think we're going to win 2-1. Come on,
you never know.
I am going to kick off. I'm kicking off at 4:30. I've actually got a match this afternoon. I mean, 2 days short. 2 days short of my 60th birthday. I'm like knocking a ball about this afternoon. But
love it.
We'll see. We are twice European champions. We've scaled great heights before.
Yeah. Also, it is what it is at the end of the day, to use iconic Billy Davis's phrase, and we'll still support the team no matter what, given the result on Saturday. We will be live tomorrow reflecting. I will be live reflecting on the game with a few special guests. So do tune in tomorrow evening for that. Right, I think that does us nicely. I'm worn out. I'm gonna have to go and lie down in a dark room again. I've said it on Monday, but I was gonna go to the gym, but maybe it's time to go to Tatano to go back to bed. Student living, eh? Dave, thank you for today. I hope you're not too maxed out. Two maxes.
That's a Gary. That's like a Lineker-esque pun to finish the show.
Sorry,
Max.
I had to do that. Max, thank you. Hope Dave didn't.
Cheers, mate.
Dave didn't.
No, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. He's good, isn't he? He is good. Bless him. We love you, Dave.
So are you, lads.
It's been a good conversation. Thanks for all your comments. As always, we will see you tomorrow, like I say, and then Monday for our main episode. For the fans going tomorrow, sing your heart out. Enjoy it. Fingers crossed for Forest. Come on, you Reds. Forest till we die. And please, just a bit of luck on our side. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.